All this week, we've been bringing you stories from Rwanda 3 decades after the genocide. Today, I want to introduce you to one woman I met who risked her own life to try to save others. Her name is Josephine Dusabimana. Hers is a story of being a helper, though those she helped worried for her safety too. During the Rwandan genocide, members of the Hutu majority killed Tutsis. Josephine is a Hutu.
As they left, they said, "What about you? We have to go back home." I said, "Never mind about me. I'm a Hutu. You just go."
In April of 1994, Josephine Dusabimana was living in a Rwandan village in a small two-room house with her family. She lived close to some military barracks, and she said by the morning of April 7th, the area was swarming with soldiers. They started to burn Tutsi houses. I sat with her on the shores of Lake Kivu in Rwanda recently, and she told me about a man who 30 years ago wanted her help. She was quick to take him into her home, and then she spotted another person who needed help. So one became two.
So at this point, you've taken two men who could be killed into your home. Were you fearful for your own safety as you were giving them a safe place to be? Well, because we were poor, no one suspected that we could hide someone.
But Josephine also had a problem. She did not know what her husband would say if he came home and found two Tutsi men hiding there. So before he walked through the door, she tried to catch him off guard.
I said, "Did you know that Pierre and Fidel came to see you?" Just to get him confused. And I said, "They're inside." And because he was also afraid, he pushed them into a room and shut the door.
As a Hutu, Josephine felt protected. But she said she was asking herself, "How can I save their lives? I need to get a boat and get them to the lake."
I kept thinking, if anyone knew that they were there, we would all be killed. That was my big challenge.
A cousin had a canoe, but they had to pay, so Josephine traded her goats for that canoe. And at night, she sent the men off in the boat. A week later, a similar story. Josephine said a man with two daughters came to her. Again, she hid them against her husband's wishes.
My husband said, "I don't want you to bring Tutsis here. You're putting our lives in danger." I told him, "I made the decision to save people. I don't care if they kill us or not."
How did you find the resolve to make that decision to put your own life at risk, to go against what your husband said to you, his concerns about the safety of himself and your family? It takes an immense amount of courage.
Well, when my husband got a little tough with me, I tried to be nice with him and say, "They're human beings just like us."
She took some canoe paddles from her father and hid them in a pile of sweet potato leaves. But she still needed a boat, so she checked the lake.
The problem with me going to the lake is that it was full of dead bodies. But when I got there, I saw a metal canoe.
She told her husband she found a canoe, but it was chained up and it belonged to a genocide perpetrator in their village.
So my husband says, "Now you found a boat and you found someone to kill you."
After dark, Josephine launched her plan. She took her children and went to the lake. She told them, "Pretend that you're swimming and make noise in the water." While one of them jumped in the water, another one was cutting the chain. Her first child saw it, then her second.
Then I cut it once and the chain broke.
That same night, she went back home. She gave the man and his two daughters the paddle, and she tried to motivate the girls, telling them, "You're strong enough to make it across this lake. If they didn't make it by morning, they'd be killed."
I didn't really have anything to feed them, but I had soybeans. I gave them soybeans and said, eat the soybeans and you can drink the water in the lake. And then we prayed, and I let them go.
Over and over, the story repeated itself. A woman and her baby, a young boy. When Josephine saw someone who needed to be rescued, she said she did whatever she could to try to save them, risking her own life every time. Some did not survive. But all told, she estimates she saved 12 lives during the spring of 1994. The Rwandan genocide tore the country apart, and 30 years removed from that violence in which nearly 1 million people were killed, Josephine Dusabimana says things are now better for her.
It was all worth it. Now I have my dignity.
And as for her country, things have changed too.
When I saw people being cut by machetes for no reason, I thought that things between Hutus and Tutsis will always be problematic. But today, I'm always surprised to see killers and victims talking together.
And she said that what happened here in Rwanda and how the country is emerging from its past could be a lesson to the world. Elsewhere in the program, Rwanda has experienced a transformation in the decades since the genocide. The country's president, Paul Kagame, is celebrated for that success. But he's also been criticized for human rights abuses, stifling dissent, and his decades-long rule.
Kagame was the strong man that we needed after the genocide. But today, we need a fresh perspective, a fresh blood, a fresh new leadership in our country.
We'll look at all of that elsewhere in the program. You can hear all of our stories from Rwanda, from the Kenya trap music scene to a growing love of basketball in the country at npr.org. Our Rwanda stories were produced by Matt Ozug, Noah Caldwell, and Elena Burnett. They were edited by Tenbeat Ermias, Courtney Dorning, William Troop, Tara Neal, Sammy Yenigan, and Didi Skanky. Special thanks to Holly Niseth and Zita Tira, who studies genocide forecasting at Ohio State University.